We're doing our best to keep you informed on the current financial status of issues, etc. We have 4 weeks left in 2012, and we're $50,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Either you abide by your religious convictions and you violate Obamacare, or you abide by Obamacare and you violate your religious convictions and free exercise of religion. There's no in between.
You talk about the purpose-driven life. You'd say in the book, it's not about you. Who is it about?
Well, it is all about God and His plan for us.
Just use plain, simple grammar. If the book is about you finding your purpose, the book is all about you.
The caffeine for the waiting Lutheran is the means of grace that keeps us awake and vigilant and filled with faith, waiting for Jesus.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It is not a story that would be, I think, even possible in the United States, given the fact that abortion has been entirely legalized for 40 years now here in the United States. There are places in the Western world where it isn't. Ireland is one of them. And there's an abortion case in Ireland that is raising questions about Ireland's laws regarding abortion, about how clear they are about the limits of those laws, and what do you do in extreme cases. Of course, extreme cases make bad law. But we're going to talk about one of those extreme cases in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us here in the first half hour to talk about an abortion case in Ireland that's making the news. A little bit later, our pastor's roundtable on Luke chapter 3, the first 14 verses, John the Baptist preparing the way for the coming of Christ. Pastor Bruce Kaysman, Pastor Joel Baisley will be our guest. Then Dr. Carl Beckwith joins us in the last half hour on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 4th. We'll talk about 8th century theologian and hymn writer John of Damascus. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for our pastor's roundtable and a chance to win the Lutheran Study Bible during our roundtable hour at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Before we bring on Dr. Montgomery to talk about this abortion case in Ireland, let's get the whole story from Reuters News.
Thousands gather for a candlelit vigil in Ireland in protest against the country's strict abortion laws after the death of pregnant Indian woman Savita Halappanava. The 31-year-old died of blood poisoning at University Hospital Galway a week after miscarrying 17 weeks into her pregnancy. Her husband said her repeated requests for a termination were rejected because of a fetal heartbeat.
I came out because I'm a grandmother, I'm a mother, and I feared that this day would come sometime.
It's just a huge shame that this woman had to die in such tragic circumstances and highlight the fact that there is a major absence of clear legislation in this country at the moment.
In India, where the case has drawn widespread condemnation, Halappanava's grieving mother said that Irish authorities should have taken their daughter's Hindu faith into consideration. Halappanava's husband, Praveen, said he would take action against the hospital if no measures were taken by the Irish government. Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny said both the hospital and an Irish national team were conducting an investigation into the case. Abortion remains a deeply divisive issue in this overwhelmingly Roman Catholic country, which has some of the world's most restrictive pregnancy termination laws.
That's a story from Reuters. Joining us to talk about this story, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's a distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, and he has authored and edited more than 50 books, including Christ is Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is the most important issue in this case in Ireland, and as it will be dealt with, at least in some way, by the European Court?
Well, it's certainly the question of the right to life of the mother as compared with the right to life of the unborn child. This is, of course, one of the most difficult areas in the whole right to life sphere, the whole abortion issue. Unfortunately, a case like this is really not the kind of case that ought to be the basis for solving that difficulty. As you said, hard cases make bad laws, and in this case, medical records have apparently disappeared, and it's not clear as to whether if an abortion had taken place, that would have made any difference. That is, the pregnant woman died 4 days after the death of the child and died from blood poisoning, and it's not clear what the cause of death of the mother actually was. So all of this makes the whole business very, very difficult.
So if someone were trying to change the laws in Ireland, and I want to talk about those in just a minute here, but if someone were trying to change the laws in Ireland and wanted to argue that they ought to be changed on the basis of a case like this, they still have a tremendous burden of proof to even connect the law that would have prevented the child from being aborted and the failure to abort the child with the woman's death itself.
Oh, that's exactly right. The law in Ireland states, this is the Irish Constitution, Section 40, the state acknowledges the right to life of the unborn and, with due regard to the equal right of life of the mother, guarantees in its laws to respect by its law and by its laws to defend and vindicate that right. So the Irish Constitution is simply stating that the unborn child and the mother both have the right to life, and the state ought to protect both. This means, in practice, that abortion is only allowed in Ireland where the continuation of pregnancy would put the woman's life at risk, not just her health or other interests. So it doesn't seem to me that this very sad case would be a basis at all for modifying the Irish position. And the Irish position, in my view, and from the standpoint of Holy Scripture, is entirely correct. And it's simply a shame that in the United States there's abortion on demand for the first trimester of pregnancy and virtually for the first two trimesters of pregnancy.
So can you explain the disparity there between the United States that's had 40 years of legalized abortion and Ireland, that many people would be shocked to hear that they haven't and that they don't, that they the Constitution protects the life of the unborn? How do you explain Ireland in that context?
Well, it's certainly because of the historic strength of the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland. And the Roman Catholic Church, in spite of all of its theological problems, has maintained a traditional conservative view of the life of the unborn, of the right to life of the unborn. Now, today, as a matter of fact, Catholicism has weakened tremendously among the Irish populace. When I successfully engaged in my Existence of God debate at University College Dublin a couple of years ago, we won the debate, but it was really sad to hear the number of students who had clearly dumped the Christian faith because they were sick and tired of the Roman Catholic Church. So in practice, Roman Catholicism has deteriorated tremendously and taken Christianity with it in Ireland. But the Constitution in Ireland still reflects the historic Christian position a position which ought to be respected by Protestants, Catholics, and Eastern Orthodox in regard to the right to life of the unborn. In the United States, the reason that we've gotten into this miserable mess of Roe versus Wade is that the United States, in its history, is a country of individualists. We are countercultural, we are dead against authority, and we want to have the right to do whatever we want to do in our lives. And that's the basis of a total absence, virtual total absence of gun control. It's also the basis of our saying that the pregnant woman has a right to do whatever she wants with her own body. This, of course, is entirely contrary to the position of historic Christianity, and it's especially ironic in light of the fact that there are so many evangelical Christians in the United States. They just don't make a connection somehow between the full authority of Scripture, which they in principle hold, and their views on abortion and right to life.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about an abortion case in Ireland on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 4th. Dr. Montgomery is author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. It's his latest, by the way, and you can find out more about this book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, it is not the first time that the European Court of Human Rights has actually considered the laws, they say, some the critics say, laws that are too vague to be practically applied in Ireland against abortion. As I read in a Reuters story, the European Court of Human Rights said in 2010 that Ireland must clarify its laws. We'll find out what that means from Dr. John Warwick Montgomery right after this.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
We're doing our best to keep you informed on the current financial status of Issues Etc. We have 4 weeks left in 2012, and we're $50,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an abortion case in Ireland. Our guest is Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held annually in Strasbourg, France. Dr. Montgomery, tell us a little bit about this Apologetics Academy.
Well, it's the only Institute of Advanced Studies in apologetics anywhere, and it's a specialized training in evangelism. Because the problem that we generally have in presenting the gospel to people who are not believers is that we are frightened witless that they're going to ask us questions or criticize our position, and we're really not in a condition where we can handle this. The 2 weeks in France with top apologists and only 20 people participating each summer gives those people who are registered for the program contact with the major arguments of unbelief in our time and the very best answers. And that means that one gets the ammunition one needs for effective evangelism. And that, of course, is what we really ought to be doing. Sadly, lots of Lutherans spend all their time enjoying their Lutheranism, staying within their own denominational activities, and meanwhile, the world is going to hell outside. And what we really need to do is to carry the solid theology we have effectively to the unbeliever. And that's what this program makes possible. It takes place in the French Rhineland, one of the most beautiful parts of Europe, and the cost is not any more than a two-week holiday abroad, and there are very generous scholarships available for this summer. A third of the cost of the program, $1,000, can be taken off if a person has any significant reason for needing that kind of help. We have 20 places, as I've said, and 10 are already gone. So it is very important that listeners who'd like to do this get in touch with us just as soon as possible. And Christmas is just around the corner. Wouldn't this be an ideal Christmas gift for a husband to offer his wife, or the wife the husband, for a congregation to send their pastor to benefit from this kind of training? One of the people on the program this summer is Yua Simonetto, who is probably the most well-known and important Lutheran journalist and sociologist of religion alive today. We've tried to get him over here for years, and we've finally been successful. So this is an opportunity that you really shouldn't miss.
And our listeners, of course, are very familiar with Dr. Simonetto because he's a frequent guest on the program. Folks, we will post a link to the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, it is reported by Reuters last week that the European Court of Human Rights did, in 2010, require that Ireland clarify its laws with regard to abortion. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's correct, but one has to understand this in detail. The most important thing about that ruling, this is the case of A, B, and C versus Ireland. These were three pregnant women who traveled from Ireland to the UK to get abortions because they couldn't get abortions in Ireland, and there are various complications connected with all three of these cases. The importance of the case is that the European Court held that there is no right to abortion in the European Convention on Human Rights. So nobody can argue that in a European country that they must have the right to an abortion. Now, the reason for this is that the court maintains a strong margin of appreciation, as it's called, for each of the legal systems that are a part of the larger European picture. Therefore, the court was not going to upset Ireland's opposition to abortion. The other side of this is that one can't argue the reverse. One can't say that the right to life ought to be protected by the European Convention on Human Rights, because the court would say that a country that does allow for abortion should be given the margin of appreciation in order to carry that sort of thing out. The court, in other words, is not going to mess with such fundamental social values in each of the European countries. The court therefore, did not uphold the right of any of these three women to an abortion. But the court said that Ireland had not been specific enough in its procedures so that a woman could know whether she genuinely qualified for a legal abortion under the Constitution, under the provision of the Constitution that we talked about earlier in the program. So the court said Ireland needs to establish more clean-cut procedures so that a woman can know whether her life is actually at risk under those circumstances. The sad thing about this whole business is that people have misunderstood this case. They've said that this case is unfortunate. For example, it isn't. The case really is a positive case in so many respects. Just one example of the kind of misinterpretation that takes place about this. There is an organization in England called the SPUC. This is the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children. And its director, John Smeaton, went after the court and said that the court had failed to respect Ireland's national sovereignty. This, of course, is always the argument of nationalists. They don't want to have anything international done because it might hurt sovereignty. Here in the United States at the moment, conservatives are jumping up and down with glee that the UN convention that would have given added protection to people with medical infirmities was not passed by the Senate. And they say, yippee, they're not going to touch us. They're not going to hurt our national sovereignty. But, you know, from a theological standpoint, none of this is an issue of sovereignty. It's an issue of humanity, of the dignity of the human being. And the European Court of Human Rights, it seems to me, handled that case, A, B, and C versus Ireland 2 years ago, exactly as it should have.
Can you give us a general overview of Western Europe, country by country, more or less, on where the issue of abortion stands legally in those countries?
Well, in general, the situation is that the southern European countries that are primarily Roman Catholic have the strongest opposition to abortion. Okay, countries like, historically, countries like Spain and Portugal and Italy and so forth. But because the Roman Catholic Church is so reactionary in its social policies, just as in Ireland, many people have been driven right out of the Christian faith. They've thrown out the baby with the bathwater because of their irritation with everything that the Roman Catholic Church seems to represent. These pedophile cases in contemporary Roman Catholicism have had a terribly negative effect in driving people away from Christianity as such. So you will find, for example, in Spain, where a socialist government came in a short time ago, movements away from that position. The countries that have been associated with a pro-abortion, anti-right-to-life position have been the North European countries that have been influenced by the 18th century Enlightenment. Countries like the Scandinavian countries, you know, during the Reformation period, those countries were solidly Lutheran. But as a result of the influence of the 18th century rationalistic Enlightenment, they have gone very secular, very often socialist. And in those countries, there is easy abortion. And then in between, you've got countries like England, which are far better off than the United States, because at least in England, you can't have an abortion unless it's in a certified medical facility and approved by two doctors, except in the case of an emergency where one doctor can approve it. In other words, there are conditions in England, at least, to prevent abortion on demand, which in the United States exists, as we've said, during the first trimester of pregnancy and for all practical purposes during the second as well.
Dr. Montgomery, finally, with only about 2 minutes here, but I want you to make a thorough argument here. The connection between the particular right to life and human rights in general, with about 2 minutes, Dr. Montgomery.
Well, the right to life is the most fundamental of all human rights, because once a person is dead, there's no point in talking about any of the rest of them. So that makes this issue fundamental. And in this very difficult case that's just come up in Ireland, it seems to me we ought to recognize that the only real issue is the right to life of the mother, a pregnant mother, versus the right to life of the unborn child. If there isn't a choice necessary there, then both parties have an equal right to life. In my view, contrary to the Roman Catholic position, it seems to me that if only one can survive, that ought to be the mother rather than the unborn child. And the reason for this is that the mother has existing social relations and responsibilities in this world, which the unborn child does not have. And also people dependent upon the unborn, dependent upon the mother. And therefore, if a choice has to be made, it ought to be made in favor of the mother. But hard cases make bad law, and the fact that in that situation the unborn child might have to be sacrificed is no argument whatsoever for a loose position on the right to life of the child. The fact of the matter is that from the moment of conception, you've got a human being, and that human being deserves legal protection. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist in the United States at the present time, and this is just damnable. And if only the Christians in the United States would mobilize and do something about this, rather than having spaghetti suppers in the local two-seat-in-the-spirit predestinarian Baptist church, we'd all be better off.
Dr. John Moore Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor for Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome.
When we come back, it's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be talking about John the Baptist preparing the way. Stay tuned. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.